Many people would say, especially in comparison to us here in Australia, that New Zealand is quite an advanced society when it comes to the reconciliation of the white population and Maoris. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's been the perception. I don't necessarily think that's been the reality. And certainly if we turn back the clock, say 50 years or so, white New Zealand used to be very proud of having harmonious race relations, but often what that would mean is that Māori concerns would be swept under the carpet. And so it was very much a public front, if you like, on the international stage. Mm. If we look in today's age, sure, we've got a process that's been established over a period of years with the Waitangi Tribunal settlement process. And I think it's been quite innovative in that space, but we've still got some way to go, I'd say.
Yeah, a treaty is something that a lot of Indigenous nations across Australia want. New Zealand signed the Treaty of Waitangi. What did this involve, and tell us what it kind of meant?
Well, what it effectively did was outlay, if you like, three sets of rights. One was to do with power, and there are a lot of Māori that believe that it gave British the right to govern their own as opposed to governing Māori. The other thing that it did was guarantee property rights and resource rights, and the other thing that it talked about was equality. And there's a current debate about whether or not that means equality of outcome or opportunities, because the two are actually quite different. Mm. So in a nutshell, that was what the treaty was about back in 1840. But you've also got to place it a little bit in the context of 1840. So Waitangi is just opposite to a settlement called Kororareka, which is also known as Russell, which was the then New Zealand capital. And that was being basically affronted by an influx of settlers, of convicts from Australia, who were basically there as rebel rousers just to cause mayhem and havoc. Mm. And so what they wanted to do was basically the chiefs wanted to get together with Māori authorities British authorities to sort out the problem as it was back then.
How has the New Zealand government attempted to address the disadvantage faced by Māoris caused by white settlement? And has it sort of worked over the years?
I think the verdict's still out. I think if you were to look at the socioeconomic position of Māori, you'd probably say no. I mean, that has to be, I think, the ultimate aim, because if you strip it back, it goes back to things like lack of educational opportunities, which in turn results in, lower employment prospects and that sort of thing. So there's different ways in which you can measure it. If you looked at iwi, which are tribes over here, being an economic powerhouse, then you'd have to say in that regard we've done quite well. So, yeah, like I said at the start, the verdict's still out, I think, and I think we've still got some way to go.
Okay. How important do you think is education, and especially the media, in fostering more positivity?
Yeah, vitally important. I mean, for today's age, if you combine media with probably the digital platform, that is the main medium whereby people are informed and receive their information. And that, for a very long time over here in New Zealand, was very monocultural. So if we go back to, say, between 1900 and 1950, New Zealand schools were predominantly being taught everything that was great about the British Empire. Mm. And so in the space of a generation or two, you had the advent of the Waitangi Tribunal process. So settlements were starting to be spoken about between Māori and the Crown. But of course, what was happening in the bigger picture was that the population were not aware, one, that there were grievances, and two, that race relations weren't all that harmonious, which is what they are basically being force-fed for the best part of 50 to 100 years.
Yeah.
So there's a massive responsibility on the shoulders of the public education system, as well as the media, to inform people what the real picture actually is.
Recently, there was a big debate here in Australia on whether Captain Cook invaded or settled this country. How backwards does our quest for reconciliation seem to those in New Zealand?
I don't necessarily know if we look at the arrival of Captain Cook as being, everything that started to go wrong with Māori society. I think we probably look at the benchmark or the starting point, if you like, to be the Treaty of Waitangi. I know in the Australian experience, it's different. You do look at the arrival of Cook and everything that happened subsequent to that. So I think we've got different starting points. But ultimately, what was being driven out of England is the predominant discourse between Māori and Pākehā, or white people here in New Zealand, which ultimately lead to things like, you know, systematic colonisation. And then you start to see on the back of that some pretty harsh policies that absolutely had a negative impact upon the Indigenous people of this land.
Well, I'll have to leave it there. But Malcolm, thanks so much for talking to us on 2SER this morning.
Thanks very much.
That is Dr. Malcolm Mulholland, a researcher at Massey University in New Zealand, talking to us about the history of that country and I guess the differences between New Zealand and Australia when it comes to the reconciliation and the bringing together of the Indigenous and white populations of those countries. For mine, you probably learn a lot from the way New Zealand has done things over the last few decades anyway, compared to what's happened here in Australia. So a really interesting chat there with Dr. Malcolm Mulholland.